What's up? Welcome to episode 276 of the PS4 Blogcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. There's at least we got some new releases this week. I think we did have some last week, but they were kind of like there's patches primarily, and then I think some small games that we might have missed when I was going back and looking at the new release list. But and luckily, a lot of the deals that were from last week, which I thought would have ended by now, are still going on. So we do have some that are going to end on Monday, unfortunately. But especially if this only gets posted up on Tuesday, if I'm late. But hopefully a lot of people use all these deals. There's like a lot of Critics' Choice. those end on the 6th, though, which is Tuesday, so that's good. So at least you have Monday as well. And we currently have the spend $100, get $15 credit on the PlayStation Network, which expires soon. That expires next week, Tuesday as well. And I haven't taken... There was enough on the store that I wanted for me to actually take advantage of that credit, because usually I do it every time it's up, but didn't do it this time. Let's see for new releases while it loads. Let's see. Apparently, I'm trying to think if there's anything huge. Because Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet came out last week. And then I believe so did Fae came out last week. And then Deadbolt also came out last week. So it looks like nothing big. Perhaps Past Cure, was that this week? Nope, that was last week as well. Just all these reviews are just running late for these smaller games. So yeah, nothing big.
Did I get review copies for like indie games and stuff?
I don't know if they get, sometimes they do. It depends on the publisher. Like I know at least back when Greg and Colin were at IGN, they used to get indie stuff for PlayStation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because Colin would always check out as much as he could and everything. Because, I mean, he really liked Naughty Bear, and that was, like, a smaller game. And a bunch of those other games, like, that they'd always get. But, yeah, I don't know if people are constantly getting that at, you know, news outlets now. But, yeah, I think a lot of them are, like, they're not saying. Like, Past Cure, also, the reviews for that came out, and it's getting kind of like okay, like in the sixes kind of reviews, so I'm sure they probably didn't send out codes for those, especially because that game's been out for quite a while. And then I'd imagine Sword Art Online, which I believe is an online game, not a... I'm trying to look at the... Well, it's multiplayer. 2-8 players. So I'm sure that took a while to review because that was an RPG, but reviews for that just started coming out recently and over the course of the past week. But yeah, I guess nothing major. we did get a much needed patch for Battlefield 1. The Apocalypse DLC came out last week. The week prior. For season pass holders. It comes out, you know, if you're a premium pass, you get 2 weeks early to access to it. And people realized that there was a problem where every time you got a kill, the game would drop frames. And it was a big issue. And I don't know if it affected all the users or only people that downloaded Apocalypse. But yeah, it was a big problem. A lot of people, like, you couldn't basically fly any planes if you're trying to kill people with a plane, because then it would just, your frame drops would cause you to crash. It was a big... Someone... The gifs about it being like, hey, my... It's like, when I play Battlefield now, and it's just super hot... So it's like, kill someone, and then it goes in slow motion. And it starts moving, and then it goes in slow. It's really funny. But they did release a patch that fixed that bug. I think there are still a couple bugs in the new update. I don't know if it's map-specific or update-specific, but I know there are a few lingering. I'm not sure what they are, but I'm glad at least patched out the frame stuff, because I've been wanting to get back into Battlefield, because this is the last DLC that's going to hit... for Battlefield 1, and then we'll have the next Battlefield, of course, coming out this year, which, like we talked about last week about the rumor, the person who leaked all a bunch of stuff saying it would be World War II, there had been a bunch of articles now released this week basically confirming all that stuff, but not confirming, but reporting on those rumors, so I don't know if they had additional sources or if it's just reporting on that same source and they're just delayed. You know, like typically they want to, you get a source, you want to fact check it and look on all that, so that's why they haven't published as much about mm-hmm. it. But then all of a sudden it just spread. It was like every outlet, like even the ones that are like the mainstream magazines or websites that just in the recent years have started having a gaming section, like Metro.UK or whatever. Like now they report on it. Like they got that one gamer in the office like, hey, can I have a gaming column? Yeah, go ahead, do whatever. But, so that's interesting. Of course, we'll have to wait only a couple months until E3. And then I believe they announced, well, they did a teaser for one, but then they didn't do the official reveal until actual E3. But
I cannot believe, like, speaking of E3, that they're already doing like what we expect to see from E3 articles or games that have been confirmed at E3.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing all these articles pop up and I'm like, was E3 moved up to March or something? And then I look, nope, it's still June.
Yeah. It's yeah, I think a lot of people are doing it just for clicks. You know, just
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It just confused me because I'm sitting there like seeing a shit ton of these E3 articles pop up and I thought that I like had missed it or that it was coming up really soon and they moved the date. But now it's still 4 months away.
Yeah, it's like those there's a stretch where on my news app on my phone in the gaming section I'd get a bunch of articles from those, you know, like I mentioned, those websites that have those gaming columns now, or like these tech websites, and it's like it was this weird just stretch where it was constantly everything we know about PlayStation 5. And it's like, nothing. You know nothing. You know it's in the works. That's probably going to be it. But you don't know anything. And then it's just them speculating, like, well, it probably is going to do X, Y, and Z, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, there's no concrete information on anything. I don't know why you're writing this article. But whatever. That always happens, I guess. Let's see. The Fortnite did get a patch last week on Thursday, as per usual. It was the 3.1 patch. They were originally going to have jetpacks released last week. That's one thing I like about Fortnite is when they do, they have like a splash screen when you launch it that tells you like what's new from the recent patch, something that's coming soon, and then like advertises a limited time mode. And I remember when the jetpack showed up, I was like, fucking jetpacks? I was like, what? These are going to be in the game? And usually they do them like the same week. But instead they they swapped out the jetpacks for a hunting rifle that they had talked about doing a little bit ago as well in like I think a dev update on YouTube and Twitter. But according to them, this is from, who's this from? Speaking of PC Gamer, this is just the dev team, so this isn't anyone in, yeah, this is just Epic in general. So they said this week's new item is being changed from the jetpack to the hunting rifle. We found a last minute design issue with the jetpack that's going to delay its launch, and we're working on correcting it. The jetpack will lift off at a later time. Meanwhile, you'll be able to enjoy lots of no scopes with the new hunting rifle item and a new lucky point of interest on the map. But yeah, I'm really curious, like, what kind of design issue you discover with the jetpack. Like, yeah, we realized if people hit each other, they turn into a hydrogen bomb and killed everyone on the map. Like what kind of mistake would you have from the jetpack? But I'm really interested in how that function's going to work. If it's just a one-time use consumable, or I'd imagine it'd have to be like you put it on and then it's got like a 100 fuel seconds or whatever. And something like that. Because every other item they introduce that's unique, that's not a weapon, is typically, you use it and it's put down like a jump pad. You put it down and it's there forever until someone destroys it or, you know, whatever. But you can't pick it up and take it with you. The campfires are the same. You put it down, it lasts for 25 seconds and heals you over time. And then it burns out and it's done. so I'm interested to see how this is going to work. Or if you, like, if you kill someone who has a jump, jetpack who didn't use it, if you get their fuel, if fuel has become like a resource that you can find on the map, or something that drops out of like a a crates and airdrop, like it's a new potion type, like there's the shield potions, the small shield potions, the the slurp juice, stuff like that, like if it's going to be some kind of fuel you could put into it, but it'll be really interesting to see. You know, I was thinking about them adding all this stuff and kind of changing how the game goes. I feel like they could easily do a limited time mode where it's like vanilla Fortnite. Like, it's the original map with less points of interest and maybe, like, no jump pads or no jetpacks or no campfires, you know. It's just, it's like it, like when people want the vanilla World of Warcraft servers. And it'd be like that, like, just how it was back in the day. I feel like that could be something they could easily do. But they did add a new point of interest to the south of the map, which I guess is good. I mean, the south, for those of you who play the game, the south wasn't necessarily super empty. I mean, it did have a pretty big section, but now I feel like they need more in the northeast quadrant of the map. I feel like, kind of on the right side, they have certain sections of the map where the footprint of the points of interest take up a little too much. Like, Wailing Woods is huge. It's way too big, I feel like. And then Moisted Mire is too big, and they gotta get rid of that racetrack. It's like a bike dirt track. They gotta get rid of it. It's kind of pointless. And then Lonely Lodge is also too much of a footprint. And I like those areas, how they look, because there's lots of trees, and it's a fun place. I like that biome, but I feel like they definitely need more, especially in the top right of the map. There's not much. And the map, if you split the map in half, north to south, it's very left heavy. Especially when they added the points of interest in the last major patch, you know, 2 months ago, whatever it was, the major points they added were on the left of the map. Then I found out they added a couple of random gas stations to a couple locations as well, which was like, oh, there's a gas station that never existed here before. They did also patch out a couple of loot spawns in a few locations. there's an industrial plot that's northeast of Flush Factory that lost 3 chests and 4 floor spawn locations. The one thing I hate whenever they remove a chest, because in that game it's not like the chests are 100% always going to be there. It's like you go to a house and or a building, it's like, okay, there's 2 or 3 chest spawn locations, and it's randomized if they're there or not. You might get to a house and it could be no chests. The floor loot will always be there, but of course the loot's always randomized. So when they say, oh, because this industrial plot they had has 5 buildings and 2 trucks, this trash can, and these 2 little buildings, and there's 17 chests that can spawn in this location. It's, I mean, if you get most of them, it's like an extremely dense area of loot. And I love the location. It's great. A lot of people on Reddit love it as well. They always, anytime someone points it out, they go, stop pointing out my favorite location. they don't want more people landing there. So there's like 17 chest spawn locations, and they say, oh, we're moving 3, but they don't tell you where. So it's kind of obnoxious, because then if I go there and if I land and I go, oh, the chest in this building upstairs didn't spawn, did it not spawn because they removed it, or did it not spawn because I just rolled into a game where it didn't generate? It's like, unless I play like, you know, 20 matches and I keep going to that same building, I go, oh yeah, you know what, that chest up there just never spawns these 20 games, and I can just assume, okay, that's the one they removed. Like, seeing where they remove floor loot is easy, because I go like, oh, the loot that was here, there's nothing now. It's like, but I assume the ones they did was there was 2 buildings there that spawned 3 chests where every other building spawned 2. So there's a warehouse, I'm assuming they got 1 of the 3 chests that spawned there. There's a building I like to drop to in the southwest of that area, that has 2 chests in the building, but there's 1 outside a trash can that's within the building's footprint, because it has like a wall that goes around it on the outside perimeter. So I imagine they move that. And then there's a building on the southeast that has 3 chest spawn locations, 1 up on top of a chimney outside, and then 2 inside that can spawn. So I imagine they got rid of that. That way every building has 2, and then it makes it even. So if there's a split, there's always a chance that at least 2 chests can spawn in your building. That's what I assume they would do. It would make the most sense, but we'll see. They also did a couple locations, but it didn't really matter to me, because I was like, A, I don't land at Tilted Towers, because fuck that place, and B, the other spot was like, whatever, there's so many buildings, I didn't really care. That I felt like there was this other new point of interest. It's like, there's always so many spawn locations. I was kind of like, there's so much here, but I just didn't like the layout of the new location. But yeah. And then what else we got? Bethesda might be teasing new Prey DLC. I hit the mouse sensitivity button on my mouse and now it's super low. I gotta turn it back up. I hate that. I'm like, why is my mouse moving slow? My cursor's like, it's like, oh, I hit the sensitivity down button. But yeah, in a recent tease from Bethesda, according to IGN, new DLC for Prey might be on the horizon. There was a GIF that was posted on the official Prey Twitter account, hinting that there could possibly be new content. And then if you watch it, it's like a GIF. It shows the Transtar logo, and then it pans from the Transtar logo in space down to the moon, and then slowly zooms in towards the moon. But then it kind of has this static effect where it goes away. And the Prey Twitter account. Anyways, they said, "Do we really know what's out there?" ? But yeah, it's interesting. Bethesda did send out invites to their E3 showcase this week as well. They did one of their little, you know, village things, or indicating what would possibly be there. And characters from Bethesda, their franchises, including Prey, can be seen on the front of an invitation. So it's like the little, it's got a building. And you can see like all these different little characters. You got Fallout characters, you've got Skyrim characters, there's a skeleton. You got the camera monster from Evil Within 2. You got the Doom Marine, you got a bunch of stuff on there that shows, like, you got a little Prey mimic alien. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff on there. So that's that. So they sent that out. It's interesting. I'm curious what they'll have this year, because I didn't think they would be back this year unless they have quite a bit.
Yeah, some major announcement or something.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I suppose they could do... I guess they could, aside from maybe teasing the next Elder Scrolls, because Fallout came out in 2016?
I think they've already admitted that they weren't even working on Elder Scrolls yet, though.
Maybe not. But,
I could see them doing Wolfenstein DLC or something at E3.
Well, that maybe, but I don't know what they would, because we already know. I mean, two bits of that DLC is already out, and I think the next one's supposed to come out this month. I'm waiting for them all to come out so I can play them all at once.
But that's already. I don't think it's going to be a new game. I'm pretty sure that it's going to be just DLC for something.
That would be interesting if it was straight up additional story DLC for Wolfenstein versus these side character DLCs that they're doing. But yeah, because you figured they could do, if they wanted, they could do Doom DLC, because the way that game ends definitely leads to where it could have a sequel.
What about teasing a new Doom?
Doom came out in 2016 as well.
Yeah. So I could see them teasing a new Doom, and if it was going to be released next year,
I don't know.
That,
I
mean, wouldn't be a bad one to present.
It took so long.
I don't think it's going to be Fallout or Elder Scrolls. I don't think there's any chance of either of those two happening. But I could definitely see like a Doom sequel. Like you said, it could be Prey related. Or I could see like a story-driven Wolfenstein DLC or something.
Yeah, I feel like I'd love a Doom sequel. I don't know. I mean, I guess they could. I just feel like, because it took so long for Doom to actually come out, because they were, you know, they scrapped the Doom 4 version that they had. I guess they could do...
They have the engine. They released a successful game, though, and they've kind of rebooted it, essentially. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, 3 years would be enough time to crank out a sequel now that they've created, like, a strong working base.
Yeah, but it never seems like they release super... I want to see what their timeline is for all their previous titles, because typically they release a game to, like, showcase their engines. I'm trying to see... Oh, come on, give me, like, a... This doesn't help me. Come on, I'm trying to get, like, an official list, but it just tells me all about game development. Nope, that doesn't...
I mean, the time frame between Fallout 3 and 4 is pretty substantial, so...
Yeah, but they did Fallout New Vegas in between.
Well, someone else did it.
Yeah, but someone else did it, yes, but they still released Fallout New Vegas in between.
So let's see here.
Which was a completely new game. It wasn't like a...
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Okay. So they did... Well, I guess Quake Champions is supposed to come out this year. But if you look at it, it's like... So Doom came out in 2016. Before that was Doom 3 BF3 Edition. That was the re-release of Doom 3, which came out in 2012. Quake Live was 2010, Rage was in 2010. Let's see. I'm trying to think of these big. They had Enemy Territory Quake was 2017. Doom 3 proper was in 2004. Wolfenstein Enemy Territories was 2003. Return to Castle Wolfenstein 2001. It was Game of the Year edition. Quake 3 Arena was 1999, so it seems like they take a while between games, so that's why it'd be interesting if they're working on Quake Champions to also do a full Doom game versus a DLC for Doom. But I wouldn't mind if they did. I've almost started playing Doom again last night. I wish I had a HDR or a pro patch for it, though.
That would be great, because getting my pro soon.
Man, Far Cry so soon. I keep seeing all this stuff on it, like, oh, it's your buddy gameplay. It's a bear. It's doing this. And I'm like, I don't want to watch these. I just want to play this game.
Yeah. It's like, look at all these neat things that we're releasing before the game comes out. It's like, stop.
It's just interesting.
Release the game.
They're doing that. I mean, I guess technically they did kind of the same thing Far Cry 4, but more so in Ghost Recon Wildlands, where it's like, before you can get to the primary boss bad guy, you have to go through each of his subordinates, which is kind of how they did it in Wildlands, where it's like, in order to get to the main boss of a region, you had to kill all the sub bosses to get access, because the idea is you're gathering intel to figure out where the main boss is hiding out. And then it's like, oh, you have enough intel now, and then if you clear out even more sub bosses, it just kind of gives the rebel forces and gives you more skill points and stuff like that, and gives them more power. So I did like that game loop. So it's interesting to see the way they broke up the map into multiple regions, but you don't have to, you can bounce around between each one, and the game reacts to if you're focusing on one or doing a mix. But that, but yeah, I'll be curious to see what Bethesda does, if they have a new game, or if it's just, it'll be an expansion, it'll be a what's the Fallout game that came to mobile? I can't remember. The vault game, Vault Dwellers.
Oh yeah, the little building game, or whatever. Yeah,
a sequel to that. but who knows? But yeah, pre DLC would be pretty cool. Wouldn't mind that. And then we'll have to see. There'll just be more stuff coming to Switch.
So, yeah. Our entire backlog is now available on Switch.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. But other than that, there's not a lot. Apparently, you know, the CD Projekt Red is, of course, saying that Cyberpunk 2077 is more ambitious than Witcher 3. Of course, they're not going to say, you know, oh, it's not as big or grandiose. They're
not going to say it's big. Well, given how long they've been working on it, I hope it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they're starting to talk about it again, though, because, and this could just be hopeful thinking, they originally said they weren't going to discuss it at all until the game was getting closer to its release date. Well, they're not really heavily discussing the game, but they're at least commenting on it now, which makes me go, does that mean that you guys are closer to a release date?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and then we did get the PlayStation Plus lineup for March, which is Bloodborne, Ratchet & Clank. And then for PS3 is Legend of K, Mighty No. 9, Claire Extended Cut on PS Vita, and then Bombing Busters on PS Vita. And Sony did announce a year ahead of time that they will be stop doing PlayStation Plus lineups for PS3 and PS Vita in 2019.
I have very mixed feelings about that announcement. I haven't downloaded one of the Vita or PS3 games in years, so it doesn't affect me. However, the whole concept of removing a feature but then not improving it in any way bothers me. So I want to know if, like, does removing those old games from it mean you're going to deliver better games for PS4?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean you're going to start delivering games for PSVR? Like,
right,
what
yeah.
does that entail? Because the way it was phrased, it certainly sounds like you're just stripping away features without adding anything back.
Yeah, I'm wondering, or if they'll do like, if there'll be something else additive to the PlayStation Plus subscription that is game related. Obviously, it has to be, but yeah, I'd be curious to see what they do in lieu of that. But yeah, I was always wondering, and at least you still have access to all that stuff that you've previously, like, there's been plenty of stuff back in the day that I added to PS3 or Vita just to my library, so you could still access that content that you've already got. But
yeah,
I am curious, like, how many people are still using PlayStation 3, and at least it's a, I mean, they gave us a fucking year. It's like, that's so long.
Mm-hmm.
When in theory, it's like, if they give us a year, and a lot of people, well, that speculation is that the new consoles would be announced in 2019. That'd be kind of make sense, because you figure, okay, now if they have, you know, the PlayStation 5 and that gets a plus, and then
right,
PS4.
That could make sense if they added, like, PS5 to it all of a sudden, and then they were just, like, shifting it over. That wouldn't be bad at all.
Yeah.
But it was still not a great announcement for it. And I don't think it's a big deal. They gave us a year of notice. And like I said, I can't remember the last time I actually downloaded a game for Vita or PS3.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally will not affect me at all. But
yeah,
it still just irked me a little.
It gives them plenty of time to come up with something. I mean, you can be, like you said, they might not say much now, but who knows, in a year's time they could come up with something. Like, maybe it'll be like you'll still have PlayStation or PS4 games, but then, you know, as part of it, you'll have access to some sort of, you know, games on demand service, like the Xbox has for their Game Pass program, and be like,
oh yeah,
like that becomes part of your PlayStation Plus subscription, so you can play those PS4 games on, well, I'd assume PS5 could play any PS4 game, but if they're smart.
But you say that, but
I would hope
play any PS3 game.
Yeah, well, that
they just have to flip the switch on their end is what it is.
As long as they keep the system architecture the same and just increase the CPU, which is what needs the most increase, and then also the GPU, it's like, that'd be fine. I understood the shift from the Cell tech to just a basic x86 layouts, like, okay, I can see where that could have been the problem, where Xbox was always kind of that same x86 hardware or format, but who knows, as long as Mark Cerny is there and he tells him, like, okay, look, this is what we gotta do. I mean, you figure they have to see what Microsoft is doing now and realizing that, hey, you know, maybe people aren't using the, you know, PlayStation streaming service as much as we would like, and look how well Game Pass is doing for Xbox. So, and plus, if it means that they don't necessarily have to remaster, I mean, they wouldn't, as long as it's the same architecture, you wouldn't have to, just be fine. Maybe it would have, like, its own little boost mode for PS4 games, but yeah, we'll see. Of course, that's a ways out, but we did get the announcement for Detroit Become Human, comes out in May. May 20 something. That did get announced this week as well, so we have release date for that. So now people are still speculating when Spider-Man's going to come out, because God of War is April. Detroit is May. I think it's 21st or 28th. I'd have to go look it up again. And then, so it's like, okay, is Spider-Man going to be June or July? Like, is that going to be a summer game? Which I feel like a June would be a good time, because, I mean, Last of Us came out in June, or around that time. And that could be a good summer game, you know, kids getting out of school won't play Spider-Man, but and we'll have to see, you know, see what they say. But other than other news, not, I'm trying to see, there's not much else. Not much other news.
Nope.
Nope.
So I wanted to talk about this, but I sent you guys messages in Discord about it, but holy shit, the guided tours in Assassin's Creed Origins are amazing.
Yeah, I still haven't done them.
I didn't think I would enjoy them at all because the whole concept of going on like an educational tour, while it was kind of cool, it was like, well, this seems a little bit gimmicky. It's probably not going to be that well thought out or done well. Actually trying them out, they put a shit ton of time and thought into it, and it's basically like watching a documentary on, well, playing a documentary on both Egypt and on Ubisoft at the same time. So you can choose like tours to explore the pyramids, and then they'll give you educational information about the pyramids. Occasionally they'll talk about design decisions that Ubisoft made, like why they changed certain things. One of the examples is like there's an inaccessible room in one of the pyramids, and they decided to change it to an accessible room, and they explain why they changed it and what they hoped players would accomplish by changing it. But it's really fascinating, both hearing the history of Egypt and Alexandria, and also like getting a behind the scenes glimpse at design decisions that the team made.
Yeah, I definitely want to give it a go. I just need to find time. I should have been doing it like this week because I haven't been playing much this, especially my cousin's not on. I don't really, I still play Fortnite. Random with squads, fucking randos that are bad or want to drop a tilted towers like the dumb idiots they are. but yeah, I've been meaning to try it. I still have it in my, I have like a main folder that's always, you know, it's the only time I've ever used the folders on PS3 or PS4, but I have one folder has all the current games I'm playing plus the PlayStation video and capture galleries are in that folder as well. But I have like all the games I at least know I will be playing, and I've kept Origins in there just because the DLC, and then I want to at least try out that virtual stuff at some point.
It honestly just gave me a new appreciation for the game. Like the things it focuses on are things that you did not really, like maybe, huge Assassin's Creed fans did or huge Egypt fans did, but most of the things it focuses on are things you just don't notice in the game. Like they walked through one of the coolest ones was how they recreated statues in the game, and they're explaining that they try to historically recreate existing statues, but the existing statues don't have, they're not complete. They're eroded due to time, or parts of them are broken off. So they talk to historians, art historians, to try and figure out a way to accurately recreate them into some form that was respectful. And, playing through the game, when I saw a statue, I was like, oh, this is cool. I wonder if I can climb on it. And then going through this and seeing how much time they put into something that, they tuck away in corners, things like that, is very interesting.
Yeah, I definitely
And
want
each of the tours is short. They range in length from like 2 minutes to like 10 minutes.
That's good. Yeah, you figured you'd want it to be a nice consumable length. Can you only walk between each one, or can you do like a free roam camera kind of thing to get to them faster?
So basically the way it works is you can play as one of like 30 characters, and there are waypoints on the map, and you can run to those waypoints however you want. It shows you like a guided path you can take if you just want to like walk around and explore, but if you want to, you can just run wherever the hell you want to go.
Yeah, I gotta
It's
think that's.
like open world without the enemies and stuff, right? It's just the game just on story mode.
Yeah, it's open world. It's open world. The guards are still there, but the guards don't attack you, and some of the animals are still there, but nothing attacks you. You can choose. They have like 30 different character models throughout the game that you can choose to play as. And you can either run to each tour and try to find them randomly and start it, or it offers fast travel that immediately takes you to the starting point of each tour.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so you don't have to like find them if you don't want to. You can find them, or you can fast travel. I usually do the fast travel just because I've played the game. I don't want to spend, 30 minutes trying to find the start of a tour. But it's also I've discovered very great for camera modes, taking pictures and then I don't know. It's just very interesting. I like coming home and watching a few of them before I, do anything productive.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to giving them a go.
I hope they do that with future games too, because that's a really interesting feature, not just for ancient Egypt, but just for like any historical setting they do, and just kind of the time and care that they take into recreating it. I hope they keep that in future games.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like back in AC2 and Brotherhood, where Sean like would always tell you stuff about things, and I like that, where he's like telling you about it. It's like obviously he adds the at the end, it's always got that AC, twist to it with the Templars and yada yada. But it's like at least telling you the history about something, and I like that a lot. I always thought that was a cool part of those games. I was always bummed when they got rid of that bit of his character in Revelations and then 3, but
Yeah, they would at least like you'd come up on a building and it would tell you what the building was for and what they did with it in ancient times. Or it's like in later games, you come up on a building and you're like, this is really cool. I wonder what they did here.
yeah, or it's, and then it's just block text that you have to like. It's like, oh, you got a new codex entry, and it's like, I don't want to have to go open that up and just to read this thing. I want it. I wish Sean was here to tell me about it.
Yeah, I want somebody to like tell me about it while I'm climbing all over it and like looking at it.
He's just holding the grudge against Desmond for some reason, and he's like, I fucking hate you. And he's like, God damn. Come on, man.
Tell me about the places still, though.
Yeah. Just be my bud. But, I had something else I was going to say, but I'm blanking on it. Oh well, maybe I'll come back to it. But, yeah, again, there's some. I was looking at those deals in the PlayStation Store, and there's, again, going back to them, there's still some really good ones if people haven't jumped on them. Like up to 50% off on a lot of games for, especially the Critics' Choice sale, it's still going. A lot of good stuff, like $21 for Hellblade. I saw Shadow of War is on sale for $37.50. I was like, oh man, and Neo is $25. I think it's the complete edition.
It is.
I was like, oh, do I want to? What's weird is like I can see Neo in the deals, but then if I go to see all deals, I can't find it in that list for some reason. I don't know why. But I could see it right here. I almost thought about picking up, but I was like, I'm not quite in that mood to play a Soulsborne like game. That's more involved in the combat. I was like, I don't know if I want to get into that right away, especially with a Far Cry coming out soon. I want to make sure I can play that right away, and I don't want to drop this. And stuff, but a lot of a couple bit of movie sales too, which I always look at to see how good they are. But typically, I'm never like, "Yeah, all right." But yeah, a lot of good stuff. South Park: Fractured But Whole is only $30 for
Jeez.
PlayStation Plus. Yeah, but yeah, I wish there was just either stuff was a little cheaper or there was a little bit more that I didn't already own, because then I would definitely get something. It's like I could see if like Call of Duty World War II was a little cheaper, just because my brother keeps pounding me to play it, and I could say like, okay, well, I'll play that and I'll play the campaign, so at least I can play that with you. And then I get that like Shadow of War, and then Neo to get that $100 and then get the credit back later. But oh well, but yeah. Other than that, I can't think of what else I wanted to talk about. I know I'll remember like right when I remember we're done with the podcast, but
Turn the
oh well.
recording back on. I just remembered.
It's funny. I saw the Fortnite subreddit was happy because their game showed up in the news because they had one of those like, it was like CNN morning talk show news or CB, I don't know, some talk show, daytime talk show where they're talking about Fortnite and stuff because it's super popular. And but it was actually like they had someone on there who was I don't remember if he was a psychologist or what, but he was talking about how he also plays the games with his kids and everything. And it was actually like a it wasn't like one of those cringy bad video game conversations between people who know nothing about video games. It's actually like, wow, this is actually almost a decent 5-minute conversation about video games that just happens to mainly focus on Fortnite and stuff like that. And because the guy was talking about, you know, like the benefits, like the social aspects of games and yada yada, which is like the primary focus of that, why video games or how video games can save the world or whatever. That book I have, let me go. There's a book that was written, it was a ways back. It was how video games are good for you and how they can save the world and stuff like that. And it was a lot of the focus on video games was the social aspect, even looking at things that weren't games but would gamify social things, like back when Foursquare was popular. That was a good book. I'm blanking on the author's name, but yeah, it was a couple years. That was years back. But yeah, that was interesting. And then, I don't think there's anything else. I'm trying to look real quick if there's something I missed, but no, nothing major. What have,
I'm dead until E3.
Hey, there you go. What have you been playing? Inside, just Dark Souls still? Or are you done?
Yeah, farming still, a little bit of Dark Souls. I tried to play a little bit more of, Monster Hunter Stories on Monday, but damn phone at work kept ringing, but ruining my game time. But yeah, pretty much that's been it. We're kind of in a game lull where it's like we have stuff in games that we've already played that we need to finish. We just don't want to do it. We want to play a new game, so we're just kind of in a rut.
Yeah. I'm trying to like figure out, I was like, oh, I gotta play something else, but I'm not really feeling like anything. Like, I was like, I was gonna go back to play Uncharted 2 again, like I had started a while ago, and I'm like, nah, I'm just not feeling it. I was gonna hop into Shadow of the Colossus, since you like that's a game I feel like I should just hop and just do one Colossi at a time,
yeah,
and then go out. And then I haven't gone back to Dragon Ball FighterZ in a bit.
I'm like, gonna call it FighterZ.
There you go.
I'm sorry, but Dragon Ball FighterZ is a better name.
I have suppose. That's
just Dragon Ball Z, but...
Yeah. Dragon Balls. But I'm also waiting for more English dub versions of the episodes come out so I can resubscribe to Funimation and catch up on it. But
oh, yeah, that's ending soon.
What is? The series?
Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, nice.
Okay, is that actually ending, or is it just going on hiatus? Because every time I look that up, it seems to be 50-50. I'm like, no, the series is ending for good. And the other half is like, no, it's clearly just going on hiatus, and it's coming back in like a year.
I don't know. The last thing I heard was they might do another movie. So that might be why they're ending it when they're ending it. And then they don't know if it's going to come back or if the movie is going to tie up the end of the series if it doesn't. End itself, basically.
Isn't that why the series exists? Is because it's just stretched out versions of the movies that came out?
The first two seasons are the last two movies that they released. It was right, like the Frieza Gods. One and the Battle of the Gods with Beerus.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then everything else is brand new story content.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, it sucks every time I see like, oh, you know, Dragon Ball Super episode 130 something, and it's like review, and I'm like, I see like a character, I'm like, damn it, now I know there's this character I'm not going to see or something like that. Or it's like, or that's the one thing about Dragon Ball FighterZ that kind of screwed me up. It's like, oh, I know there's a Goku Black, but now I have to assume like, well, where does he come from? Is he from Universe 6? I don't know. It's like, it's going to ruin the surprise for me, but I'm like, but I want to see this fight between Goku and Goku Black. And, but yeah, oh, well, I have to ask. I hope they just would get a little quicker with that English dub because they only do like 13 episodes at a time, and I'm like, I just want to watch it. But
I think the Japanese is on the last season right now. I think it's still syndicating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. I haven't looked at it in a while. I was just going to wait till it was done and just like binge the whole thing because I watched the first two seasons and I was like, this is just a movie. And Michael's like, well, it gets different after the season. So I was like, I'm just going to wait. So
yeah, I'll wait until it's
done and then I'll just watch all the subs because otherwise I get distracted. If I'm not sitting there like reading the subtitles, I'll get distracted and wander away. So I want to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, this is definitely what I'd probably end up doing just because I know I'll be like, I don't want to watch 13, then I have to wait, and then watch 13, then I have to wait. I'll just gets in. I just hope it's pretty quick. But yeah. What about you, Isley?
I beat Celeste, I beat the Platinum, forgot the Platinum, and beat the level that made me break my controller.
Yay!
And I may or may not have broken the replacement controller, but out of excitement this time. Like, when I finally beat the level, I shouted, I'm like, yes! And I threw up my hand, and the controller just, like, slipped out of it.
Might have hit the ceiling a little.
It did. It hit the ceiling and then fell back down because I was just standing there in shock. So I might have broken the replacement controller as well. That is definitely one of my favorite platformers that I think I've ever played, though. I don't really love platformers, and that one, I enjoyed every minute of it. Even when I was frustrated and pissed off, it's a very solid game. Been playing Dark Souls, got to carry Zaya through Dark Eater Midir still.
Listen, I'm helping.
So she can smooch the purple dragon.
I'm going to smooch him.
And then just Assassin's Creed, the tours. I haven't actually played the hidden ones yet, so I've just been doing the tours kind of. I haven't had a ton of time to game at night, so they've been a nice way to get away. Next on my list is probably Shadow of the Colossus, though.
Oh man, the hidden ones is a good DLC.
It's really good.
Or Far Cry.
You could probably knock out Hidden Ones before Far Cry comes out.
Yeah.
Well, I did pick up a Nighthawk XR500 Pro Gaming Router. That's the one they released back in January. It's the one that has the... The NetDuma OS.
Mm-hmm.
Built into it, so I'm looking forward to hooking this up. I want to run some, because Fortnite patched in a couple updates ago the ability to see your network connection status. So it's, like packet loss, your ping, all that, yada yada. And since it has it, I run that all the time now. I leave default on, because at first it was kind of obnoxious, because it was pretty large font and like the middle left side of the screen. I was like, it's a little bit annoying. But then after they updated it to be in the top part next to the party list, like your everybody's characters' names, and it's a little smaller. I'm like, all right, a little out of the way. Mm-hmm. I never like need to peek at that point if I'm looking over something. It's like, but the left side of the screen, I would love to have that back. So I was thinking about like running like a game in that and a game in Battlefield, because Battlefield, of course, has you can turn on the network status in that game, like run a couple games and just see if I can notice any differences. I imagine Fortnite probably not, because that's pretty much a fixed packet up and packet down situation, at least according to what I've seen from Battle Nonsense, which, again, if no one's ever watched any of his videos, he does fantastic network analysis videos for multiplayer games. I support him on Patreon. He's really good. He just did a new update for Fortnite and PUBG. So I'm looking forward to watching that one from today. But I was hoping, I'm hoping he'd do one for the router, the XR500. He did one, a gaming routers, a while back when right before I bought my, X4S, he did that one. And the only reason he didn't go with the X4S is because, there was like one small feature he wanted, that was not in it, but was in this other router he went with. But the router he went with didn't have Wi-Fi, so he had to buy an additional Wi-Fi adapter. But it worked better for him in this situation. But it was still, based on all of the tests he ran on multiple games, the X4S was still a great router. Plus, everybody else had tested the X4Ss, and those are great gaming routers. The only reason I noticed that any other router, like from Asus or someone, beats out the X4S is always because of the Wi-Fi capability. That's kind of annoys me about router reviews that I noticed. That's the trend. Like, the only reason one router tends to do particularly better than another is usually just based on the Wi-Fi functionality. I'm like, but as myself, anyway, I don't know about everyone else, I don't game on Wi-Fi. I tried it once on PS3 way back in the day, and Wi-Fi is just the worst. I'm like, I'll always be connected on a cord. I don't care if it's 100-foot cord. I was like, I'm staying on the cord. Wi-Fi gaming, I'm never going to do it. So I guess if people are stuck in situations where they have to, it's like, yeah, sure. But mm-hmm. I always felt that the Nighthawk X4S always seemed like a really fantastic router, like especially once when I got that back in the day and hooked it up. It's like I noticed a big improvement on my gaming and my connection, my download speeds on PSN. But I'm definitely looking forward to hooking up the XR500, especially because it knows how to prioritize packets for video games, which is great. Mm-hmm. And the interface is just so much better than that old school, you know, router login.com or whatever, where it's just very basic, because that Duomo OS is just, it allows you to do so much more. And I'm also curious how well the geo-filtering is going to work, but obviously that's more of a benefit to consoles than it is PC, because PCs you could just choose because you have server browsers. But at least this, I could be like, no, I only want servers that are within the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But
save my ping.
That's right. Yeah, I'm really curious how it's going to go, but I'm looking forward to it. But that means now I'll have an X4S that I'm not doing anything with, so... And I don't have the box for it, so I can't sell it on eBay or anything. Even though it's a really good router, I like it a lot. Shame one of you don't live closer, I could just give it to you. But
I don't think it would help my half a megabit upload speeds anyway. So
yeah, no. If you don't have a high internet speed or a lot of traffic at home, then I guess you would need, you can just stick with a regular router, but I have a lot of devices hooked up at home, so it's like I like having something that, you know, is a little smarter, prioritizes the game stuff. But
we have a lot of stuff hooked up. It's just our internet is just shit. There's not a lot of internet to go around for everything that we have plugged into it, but I mean, granted, there's not a lot of stuff that's running it at the same time. Because usually if I'm playing on the PS4, even though our TV's hooked up to the internet now, it's not really, like, pinging the internet. And then my computer's usually off if I'm on my console. So
right.
Not a lot of stuff eating up the bandwidth. Because, boy, can you tell if somebody's watching Netflix while I'm trying to play a game. Like, but we're usually good about not using everything at once because we just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, that was always the worst about being on Wi-Fi when I used to live with, like, way back in the day. It's like, oh, I try Wi-Fi, and then someone starts downloading, torrenting some, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Great, I can't do anything.
Yep.
That's also a problem I have where, like, before I had my X4S, even though it was the same Netgear router login interface, because they're all basically the same, that old early 2000s kind of web interface, the QoS never seemed to work quite as well as I wanted it to, but when I got my X4S, the QoS seemed to operate great, because I used to have this problem where whenever I would, for some reason, it was like when I upload, it just consumed, it like the upload for some reason just halts the download. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden the upload packets are just, you know, the series of tubes are just blocked with upload packets and no download packets get down. But it was super obnoxious, because then I'd be like, oh, let's upload the podcast. All of a sudden, if I'm watching YouTube, like, boom, the video just stops, and I'm uploading, and then everything quits, the Wi-Fi cuts out, and it's like, it's just focusing only on the upload. I'm like, damn it. And it's like, so I'd only upload podcast episodes either when I'm home alone or at night. And then I'm like, okay, I'll just upload this real quick before I do anything, and then I'll be good. But it's like, then when I got the X4S, I was able to actually put nice caps on the quality service that actually stuck, and then I was able to upload and not have that problem anymore. So that was great. But yeah, I look forward to hooking this thing up. Other than that, I guess that's it for this episode. I was trying to see if there's anything else I can find, but nothing.
Nope.
Nothing good. They did release a dynamic theme for the Horizon Zero Dawn anniversary.
I need to go get that.
It was okay. I didn't like it. It was one of those dynamic themes that I don't like, where it has all these pictures that are pretty good pictures. I don't know if they're like screenshots by the dev or screenshots they liked from screenshot contest, but it does that thing where it does the, what do they call that? Oh, that the pan zoom in zoom out effect. What is that called? Oh, there's a name for it. It's in Final Cut. Oh, I'm totally blanking on the name. It's like a person's name. It's like the Ken Burns effect or something. I don't know. It's like some effect. It's like where you zoom in and you zoom out or something. And it does that. So it's super obnoxious when it zooms in too much on an image. It shouldn't. Plus, I don't know if they're only 1080p and they're not 4K screenshots or what. But it's like, so there's some images. I'm like, that looks really cool. But I wish it was either static. Yeah, just be static. Don't zoom in, zoom out.
It just like slowly zooms in. You're like, it looks good. It's good. Okay, I can see the pixels now. Okay, there's the aliasing. Okay, stop now.
Yeah, right. Like you can notice that stuff. It's like, yes. Yeah. It's worse because it does that. It seems to do that all the time on like shots that are close-ups of Aloy. And I'm like, why would you do that in these ones? It's like you got to reprogram this dynamic thing. But there are some shots that are kind of good. I was kind of hoping it'd be more like one of my favorite dynamic themes from PlayStation 3 was the Uncharted 3 one. Where it's just the crashed airplane and he's in the desert and I don't think you actually see Drake, but like the smoke is animated from the thing, the fire's animated, mm-hmm. and then there was the one from Uncharted 2 they had where he's walking through the snow after the getting shot in the train crash, mm-hmm. Like that was a good dynamic theme. The Little Big Planet 2 dynamic theme where Sackboy's running on the globe and it would change from a sun and a moon depending on the time of day. And if you pressed a certain button in the cross menu bar, it would make him jump. That was a good dynamic theme. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I know there was like another dynamic theme that I thought was really good. But yeah, I just wish they would have some better dynamic themes. But like a Wario 64 tweeted out something. It was Tropical Skeleton Dance dynamic theme. I was like, this is $3 on the PlayStation Network. And I'm like, it's so ridiculous. It's like, there are some, like in the daily deals, if you look at them, the very bottom's all themes. And it's like a lot of garbage. But
there's a Shadow of the Colossus one that just came out, I think.
Is it dynamic or just a...
I think it's a dynamic theme. Let's see if I can find it. I saw it on Twitter. This morning, I'll see if I can find it.
It might have been one of the pre-order ones. I have like 16 things I have to download from pre-ordering Shadow of the Colossus.
I don't know. It was like a it's a dynamic theme, but it was like a
there's a Share Factory theme.
It was like blue, and it was like shadowed out. Like there wasn't actually a lot of detail.
Interesting. Yeah, because I see the Share Factory theme for them. It includes intros, outros, cuts. I kind of wish more games would do those. I mean, I don't see a whole lot of Share Factory stuff nowadays, but I do see quite a few. Depending on the game, a lot of PlayStation 4 users will use Share Factory to cut videos, especially ones like highlights.
Oh, yeah. There's a free dynamic theme right now.
Oh, I'll have to... I wonder why it didn't show up in the Shadow Colossus submenu. That's interesting. I only see the icons in the Share Factory. All right, I'll have to go to dynamic theme and check that one out. Yeah, because I went back to my normal Horizon screenshot I took from the Frozen Wilds. I was like, which I also use as on my work computer. But
I still have the No Man's Sky theme on my PlayStation because I fucking love that picture so much. It's like I switch my theme and I'm like, I missed the shot of the spaceship. I'm gonna go back.
I always go back to the Everybody's Gone to the Rapture dynamic theme. Because it's so simple. It's just a windmill in the distance, and then it occasionally just turns to night or rains or something. It's just like a very simple theme.
Do you see the little electrical thing kind of going around sometimes? Or
no, it's just it looks like a random nature theme. You honestly couldn't tell it was from a game, but it's just a very simple, well-done nature theme.
Where? How do you find dynamic themes from the main menu? Is it under... add-ons? Themes, yeah. Okay, solving problems. Okay. There's Astro Rays 4K dynamic theme. Colors of the Nebula dynamic theme. Geisha Skull theme. Horizon Zero Dawn. I already got that, but I'm not a huge fan of it. I have to find the Shadow Colossus one. I guess I have to just... wish these were alphabetized, but they're not. So I got like all this garbage, like a Avenging Angel dynamic theme. I'm like, what? Come on, man. Oh well, I'll just go dig for it and hopefully find it, but
Oh, I think this one I saw is only from the Japanese PSN.
The one you found?
Yeah, the one that I saw this morning.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything yet. I'll just have to search for it. There's a lot of garbage.
If they're anything like Nintendo, they'll release it in the NA store. Oops, I put that in the wrong window.
Yeah, I'll just have to search for it later. Do a actual manual search. Silicon Era. Yeah,
that's where I saw it this morning. There's like a code for it. I don't know if it'll work on the North American PSN, but I mean, try, I guess.
The Japanese.
Just pick a Japanese PSN account.
Going free to those with Japanese PlayStation accounts. That's weird, because in the trailer below it has it in English. Like, the screenshot is the Japanese, and then the trailer is an English one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why it was confusing.
Yeah, that's... I guess it means it will... Or, like Izzy said, it maybe that was the pre-order.
Let me grab mine and see what the pre-order actually is, since I don't know what I actually got.
Interesting. Oh well. I'll just have to wait. But, alright. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode then. Hopefully we get some decent news for next week.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? I wonder when the E3 leaks will start to happen. But,
like tomorrow.
Right. Alright, well, that'll wrap it up for this one. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Bye. Later.